This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Getting close to the end of the week here is Thursday, April 18th, and TalkBack this morning is brought to you by Phillips Janitorial. They've got residential and commercial cleaning. And, of course, no job is too big or small for Phillips. Here's their number. Put it in your phone. 406-260-6617. Y West Storage out at the Y. Of course, they have lots and lots of storage facilities for you. For pricing and availability, all you have to do is call 406-510-0590 because of Y West. They are making room for you. And also brought to you this morning by Harrington Surgical Supply, where you can feel confident in their discreet and knowledgeable guidance on a multitude of products and medical supplies.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
And speaking of feeling confident, I'm confident that Nick Christensen is right over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
He's our show producer and extraordinaire. And, oh my goodness, we have a special guest on the phone right now.
So, yeah, I asked John to call because he shared some, Dr. John Lott, he shared some news with me yesterday. So I said that we'd take a segment or two here during open phones for him to share with you guys what he shared with me.
Let's do it. So, John, what's going on? First of all, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Okay. Great to talk to you. I hope you guys are doing well.
We're doing great, sir. Well, what's on your mind? What would you like to share with us today?
Well, Nick asked me to talk about a piece that I just had in the Missoulian about the impeachment of Mayorkas. And and we had the vote yesterday to essentially table it so that the senators weren't even going to hear the evidence of it. You know, Democrats maintain that the impeachment of Mayorkas was purely political. Republicans were saying that Mayorkas had violated the Constitution and a long list of laws by letting almost 10 million illegal aliens into the country. You know, if Democrats are correct, Republicans, you know, wouldn't have a leg to stand on, and it should be easy for them to go and make the case during the hearing. But they decided that they didn't even want to hear the evidence. So I know they were trying to do that to protect senators like our Senator Tester from having to go and vote on the guilt or innocence there. But essentially, the vote that he took yesterday to table it and not even hear the evidence was even worse, because he's essentially saying that there's no case there. We don't even need to listen to the evidence. And so, you know, whether or not voters are going to hold Tester accountable for not even listening to the evidence on this is the question.
Because I know, John, you're so much closer to the government and what happens up in those higher echelons than most people are. In your memory, has there been a secretary of a department who has been so deficient in his job of guarding America's security and the borders than Mr. Mayorkas?
No, I mean, we've never had this many illegals coming in at any one time in the United States. I mean, this, you know, we have people coming across the border all the time. But, you know, you compare that to under the Trump administration, we have numbers coming in about 10 times higher. The huge damage it's doing to even Democratic areas like New York and Chicago and San Francisco and Boulder, Colorado, and other places across the country. Democrats are complaining vociferously about the burden of having all those people coming into the country. And yet, you know, the real border areas like Texas has had, you know, tremendously more people coming in. So you have New York complaining about falling apart with 100,000 that they're having to go and deal with. But you have border communities in Texas where you may have a city not of you know, 9 million people like New York City. But you may have a city of 50,000 that's having to deal with illegals that are more than the number of people who previously lived in the city there. And they're having to go and try to deal with that and absorb those people that are coming in.
I'll tell you what, John, we're up against the breaks. I want to continue this conversation. If anybody would like to join us, give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're going to come right back and talk more with Dr. John Lott right after this.
Hey, it's Deb from Park.
Partly sunny weather in the forecast for most of the day today, although there's still a slight chance of isolated snow or rain showers in some parts of western Montana. Highs will warm to just over 50 degrees. More clouds move back in this evening with possible showers at times, but the sun will return for Friday and Saturday, warming back into the 60s to start the weekend. You want to do your outside work or play then, because we're seeing a chance of rain in the forecast again Saturday night into Sunday. With the Town Square weather, I'm Dennis Bragg.
Hey, we are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Dr. John Lott joining us this morning. Of course, as we know, Dr. John Lott, the Crime Prevention Research Center here in Missoula. And but you're about more than just firearms, and I know and the Second Amendment issue, but this, I would imagine what you're talking about today, it just, you know, outdoes all of those basic subjects, you know, by a factor of who knows what.
Oh, it's a huge impact. I mean, there are 10 million illegals that we know of that have come in under the Biden administration. That's 10 times the rate that we're coming in under Trump. And that's just what we know of. That we have 8 million people that we have turned themselves in when they've come across the border. We have another 1.9 million so-called gotaways, ones that we see but we don't catch. And then you have an unknown third group where we don't even know, we haven't even seen who has come across the border. So, for example, Mayorkas, in order to handle the processing of these 10 million or 8 million has pulled agents off of monitoring the border and handling the processing of it. So we have huge areas of the border that has nobody watching. So we have no clue how many more millions maybe have come in to the country. And those are presumably the gotaways and the ones that we don't even get to watch. You know, those are the ones that probably we have the greatest concerns about, you know, in terms of terrorist activities or other types of problems that they may cause.
Well, this is one of those classic examples where one of the most overused expressions in my lexicon is that elections matter. And when elections... When people don't use their heads and try to think ahead and think logically, things like this can happen. And you've got people like Mayorkas, some of the other individuals involved in the Biden administration that are not exactly hitting it out of the park.
Well, I think it's pretty clear they're purposely letting these millions in, which is, you know, violating federal law. They're not doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. There are specific laws that they're supposed to follow. And this was Tester's chance to try to go and reform the policy that was there. There's one reason why Schumer thinks that he's protecting Tester by not having a vote on the guilt or innocence of Mayorkas. But, you know, it seems like that's not really a serious response, because people see that this effectively allows the policy to continue. This effectively says that he believes that there's not even a case to be made, which is the same thing as saying that he believes Mayorkas wasn't violating the law or the Constitution that was there. And, you know, this was a chance to try to put the brakes on some of this by sending a message that that, you know, Tester and other Democrats disproved. But all the Republicans voted to continue to have the hearing that was there. And all the Democrats voted against even listening to the evidence.
You got it. Hey, John, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We appreciate it. Always a pleasure talking with you, sir.
All right. Good morning. Hope you have a great day.
And the same to you, sir. Thanks so much. All right, let's move on. Get Jeff on the line. Jeff, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hi.
That's not a flaw. That's a feature of the Biden policies. And I think John was spot on in saying that, you know, not to decide is to decide. John Tester showed everybody where he is in terms of the border. And I think Montanans need to take that into account this coming November. I called in for a, you know, I kind of do sometimes a funny worry of the week. This is a, this is something that's kind of serious that I don't know what it means, but it's going to mean something. And that's commercial vacancy rates are up astronomically. I just read on the, there's a columnist that I follow on the Minneapolis Tribune, and their vacancy rate is over 30% now in their downtown properties.
Wow.
Bankruptcy rates are going up all over the country. I think nationwide they were up 117% on commercial properties. And this is not just a localized Minneapolis thing. Everywhere from Detroit to San Francisco to Washington, D.C., you have vacancy rates over 20%. And so there's something happening in the commercial real estate market. A bubble that I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what it means, but we didn't know what the housing bubble meant in 2008 either, and it was pretty catastrophic. So something for people to keep on their radar screen that commercial real estate is not doing well, and it's not projected to recover anytime soon. And this is even as they try to convert some of them to residential. You know, that's possibly one of the options, but
that was my thought.
That's not a short-term thing. I mean, you just can go, okay, I'm going to move it from commercial to residential, and I'll move in. You know, there's all sorts of upgrades you have to do.
Well, there's lots of zoning issues you have to deal with as well. Hey, listen, Jeff, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to come right back. We have Dave and Len both waiting to visit with us this morning. It's open phones all the way until 9 o'clock this morning. And then it's going to be Chamber of Commerce Day. We'll be talking with the great folks from Liquid Planet and Pangea, who are going to be here in the studio talking about what they're doing for the Missoula economy. That'll be in the 9 o'clock hour here on TalkBack. Back with more in a moment.
Unused prescription opioid pain medicines can spell trouble. They can spell risk if taken by someone they weren't prescribed for, harm if accidentally taken by a child or pet, or overdose if they're not used as directed. Safely dispose of opioids before they can hurt your family. Find a drug take-back option such as medicine drop boxes. You may find these in your community at local pharmacies or police stations. Visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack Open Phones from now until 9 o'clock this morning. Then the Chamber of Commerce folks will be here in the studio. Dave has been waiting the longest. Dave, good morning, and thank you for holding, sir. What's on your mind?
Yes, I guess I'll talk about immigration for a moment.
Go for it.
Yes, I guess, yeah, they say the border is wide open. The fact is that 142,000 aliens were returned, kicked out of this country last year alone. But the problem, in my view, is, you know, sure, there's a problem on the border, but there are laws, or bills, I should say, pending in Congress that would address the issues. But Congress has chosen not to send those bills up there. They would rather blame IOLCA for the problem when Congress should act and take any power away from IOLCA that he may have to make a decisions on the border and deal with the issue. But it's Congress's problems, not, I mean, why won't they deal with the bills that they have? I mean, that's the question. There is a problem, and we need to address it, but they're just blaming one man rather than dealing with it themselves. Take the power away from him, and make the border safer.
Well, I think they probably would have done that, Dave. I think don't you think they would have already have done that? Or do you think it's just some grand scheme to just blame one guy for their own deficiency? Because that's what I hear you saying.
Yes, they are. They're using it as a political issue. They can kick certain people out of Congress and blame them rather than deal with, you know, there's at least two bills, two laws that are pending, one by the Republicans and one by the Democrats and the Republicans that combined to deal with the issues on the border. But neither bill will move through Congress because they like the problem. They want to blame one individual rather than deal with the issue.
All right, Dave. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right. Nick is on the phone right now, but we do have Len standing by. Hey, good morning, Len. We haven't heard from you for a while. Len, what's on your mind?
I agree with Dave. And one of the things, you know, we set a precedent in this country years ago when we let all the Cubans come in here. If they touch the shore down there when they come over from Cuba in a boat, they automatically got citizenship. And there were thousands of them come in here, and we let them do it. Florida is a foreign country. You can't even recognize it. I was down there years and years ago before that happened, and I couldn't believe the difference when I went there.
Well, may I ask you a question, Len? If that is true, why are so many people around the country from places like California and Ohio and New York clamoring to move to Florida?
I have no idea. You couldn't get me to live there for any. Well, all them hurricanes?
Okay.
No way.
Okay.
But, you know, the other thing when it comes down, when they were talking about acting on this foreign stuff in Congress, Trump told them, the Republican Party, not to pass that deal. It was on the news. He got his nose into it, and he has no business doing it. He isn't in the government now. And they let him do that. And they want to blame the Democrats for all of it and Mayorkas for all of it. And it's the same deal. They want to blame Tester for all that stuff. You'd think he was running the whole damn government the way they talk about him. It don't make any sense to me.
Len, that's the nature of politics in the election season, right?
I guess, but I'll tell you what. I'm old, and I really have a hard time dealing with the way it goes anymore. It wasn't never used to be that way when I was younger. There was a lot of that went on, but not like it does anymore. And I'm scared for our government. I really am. I'm scared to death what's going to happen after this next election.
Well, we'll certainly see, because it is coming. Len, thanks for the call. It's good to hear from you again.
Okay.
Have a good day,
sir.
Thank you. All right, Susan is on the line. Good morning, Susan. What's up?
Well, after your two resident liberals just chimed in, I'm going to debunk them. The problem is that there are already laws on the books, and Joe Biden does not have to have any more laws to enforce the laws that already exist to protect our borders. And in fact, the President of the United States is Constitution to maintain order and protect the people, which he is not doing. Majorca actually is under the president, and in fact, he should be following the Constitution. The governor of Texas is actually just trying to enforce federal law. And if you go back to President Trump, there wasn't a problem on the border. There was law and order. People were getting in if they wanted to become American citizens. Yes, there were illegal. They are illegal aliens. They are not illegal migrants. They are not illegal immigrants. They are illegal aliens. That is the legal terminology for them. They are illegal aliens. They should not be given a choice of staying in the United States or going back. They should be immediately returned back to where they came from. and private landowners should do whatever means necessary to stop this invasion. I mean, this is absolutely an invasion, and it's absolutely unprecedented. And only Joe Biden has allowed this to happen in the history of our country, and it's absolutely deplorable. If anybody is deplorable, it is the Democrats for allowing our country to be this absolutely destroyed. But on this, another note, I'm very outspoken conservative. It's coming to our Garden City on the 28th of April, and that Sunday, the 28th of April, at the University of Montana, a beacon of liberalism. And we hope that all conservatives listening to this show will sign up for tickets at www.mac.pac.com and come and listen to Donald J. Trump Jr., who is very spicy and very spunky and very willing to express his opinion on just about anything. And it should be a very lively conversation, and all of the top politicians on the Republican side will be with him. So it should be a very lively conversation. And one of the topics he will tackle will be this absolutely illegal invasion of our country, because a country without a border is no longer a country. And Joe Biden doesn't know which end is up, but the people that are pulling his puppet strings knows what's going on, and they want to destroy our country. And the money is being collected by Hollywood and George Soros.
All right, Susan, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. We have Tim and Colonel Tim both standing by to visit with us. A little bit overdue for a break, so we're going to come right back after this.
Hey, Boo. Have a honey.
We are back on Talk Back. All right. Let's move on. We have two Tims waiting to visit with us. Tim, good morning, sir. You are on Talk Back. What's on your mind, please?
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Excellent, sir.
All righty. First, I want to address something that Dave and Len said. I agree with them about how Mayorkas is being singled out. Although he is in charge of the border, all Mayorkas is doing is following the orders of his puppet masters, the Socialist Democrat Party, the party that's in control, the presidency. Okay. Now I want to talk about Senator Tester. He says he's trying to do everything he can to fix the crisis on the southern border. Well, Senator Bill Hagerty, a Republican from Tennessee, a member of the Appropriations Committee, put forward an amendment in the appropriations bill to prohibit taxpayer funds from being used to secretly fly illegal aliens from other nations, up to $30,000 a month. In 2023, 320,000 illegals were flowing in to America. It was defeated by party lines. Democrats across the line shot it down, including Mr. Tester. So when he is saying that he's trying to remedy the illegal alien and the southern border crisis, he's trying to fix it, I think he's just talking with a mouthful of manure.
Okay. All right.
Peter,
Tim, please invite
John Tester onto your show, please.
We have invited Mr. Tester onto this show for the last 15 years, and he's not come. But thanks for the call. Colonel Tim, good morning. You are on TalkBack, sir. What's on your mind?
Yes, good morning, Peter. Yes, what I'd like to talk about is John Lott got me excited about, vote and of course the border and what's going on with the country, and I've been following it very closely, and Mayorkas and his impeachment and awaiting conviction in the Senate, which isn't going to happen because John Tester voted. Big bad John Tester has a deciding vote. I'd like to say that to Lynn That's the reason they're pouring so much money into getting him reelected. Now, they'll bring in all these illegals is because, of course, like Susan said, it's an invasion. I talked about the 50,000 Chinese are in here now. Many of them are spies. Many of them are terrorists. Many of them are IT technicians that want to do damage here. Everybody remember the spy balloon that came over Montana? Well, it was sent right over here. John Tester didn't do much about it, as well as, of course, the president didn't do anything about it. And, of course, the reason is, just like Susan said, they want to break down society because they want to make the USA much easier to take over and invade. They talk about Taiwan, protecting Taiwan. Well, I've heard from very smart strategists that they don't want to invade Taiwan. Why would they invade it? Because that would mean destroying much of it. Why invade it when you can take away the big daddy, which is the United States, and then you can just walk right into Taiwan without a problem. So anyway, these are just some things that got me fired up from John Lott's conversation.
Well, we appreciate Dr. Lott is a great resource, and the fact that he's located right here in Missoula is amazing because he could be anywhere, quite literally anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, considering his pedigree and his education and all the things he's accomplished. But he's right here in Missoula. We appreciate that.
And I did schedule John to join us on Tuesday the 30th from 8:30 to 10. That's the reason he was only on for a brief time this morning because I did promise everybody open phones. So
you bet.
I just said we'll get a quick little segment in and then we'll have John be able to expand on that on the 30th.
Just so. Priming the pump, are you?
Yeah, we're doing something.
Colonel Tim, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for your call.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Have a great day, sir. And the phone lines are open, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're going to come right back, get more of Talk Back on the way right after this. And you thought that's welcome back to Talk Back. We appreciate all the calls. It's open phones until 9. And Harry is up next. Harry's been waiting the longest. Harry, good morning. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. John Lott, obviously he has a lot of facts when he's talking about guns, but when he gets into politics, then he's just another political hack, as far as I can see. I mean, this idea that... Well, the thing is, with the Mayorkas, what's the name? The legal guy... the professor from...
Rob Nadelson?
Rob Nadelson, yeah, Rob Nadelson.
Okay.
He said that there was no... high crime misdemeanor. There was none, so they did the right thing by throwing it out because there was none. And he, Rob is no liberal person by any means. So, say, they did it all just to protect Tester and this and that. That's silliness. But and people say, well, follow the law. I'm sorry, but the law says that if a person come across not immigrants, but they can claim asylum, and you have to put them on the roster and run them through to, see a judge to see if that claim's right.
If,
that is the law.
Harry,
if
they would do that, but how many,
hold on. Yeah.
How many hundreds of thousands or perhaps even millions of those people simply come across the border and disappear into our country somewhere that they have no intention of registering or trying to become a citizen or whatever. They just want to cross that border as quickly and as possible, whether they're working as a mule for the cartels or whatever it might be. You must admit the vast majority of those folks are not looking for sanctuary.
Oh, but that's what they claim, though. I mean, it doesn't matter what if they really are or not. I mean, that's the 8 million people they keep talking about. They turn themselves in right away. They claim asylum. And because they claim asylum, the law says they have to be, gone through the system.
All right.
It's not, the other 2 million, the other getaways, those are something else completely. But the law says that. I mean, if you don't like the law, change the law. But that is the law,
All right.
Again. Since claim all, it's about Tester, and these people are going to come and they're going to kill us in our beds. They're turning our children transgender. They're doing this. They're doing
Harry,
that. They're eating our dogs.
Harry,
blah, blah, blah.
Knock it off. Come on, man.
I'm just quoting a lot of stuff I hear from nuts that call in all the time.
All right.
I mean, these immigrants are so terrible.
Harry.
Just horrible.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right, let's move on. Let's get Ed on the line. Ed, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, my ear is ringing. You know, I listen to your show hanging on the phone here, and wow, that was really something. It kind of hurts. But anyway, I was looking at my email this morning, and the post office informed delivery sent a couple pictures of our ballots. We're going to get our ballots delivered this afternoon.
Cool.
So I wanted to say something about the fire levy on there. About a week or two ago, got this big flyer. You know, it's about 10 by 12 inches, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I got one too.
High gloss with all the consequences, challenges, community impact, things like that. But one thing I looked for was some numbers. Okay, how much is this going to cost on an assessed value of $100,000 or however you want to say it? They say nothing about the cost. Zero. The only numbers in there, well, there's a phone number, and there's June 4th. That's when we have to
hold on.
These back. But
hold on just a second, because Nick does have that number. So, Nick, go ahead, please. Go ahead. Yeah.
Let me pull it up.
Please stand by.
Many of these here. Our website's flooded. They did give us the four numbers, which we put on our website. So for the general fund levy for K through 8, cost per 100,000 in assessed property value is 79 cents. And I thought it's funny that they chose 100,000. So I decided to list cost per 500,000 because that's pretty much what everyone's averaged at. So that's going to be $3.95 for the general fund for high school district 9 through 12th grade. It's going to be about $8.25 per year. And then if you go all the way down to the safety levy.
That's the fire levy, right?
No, this is still MCPS. So
okay, gotcha.
This
right.
For K through 8, it's going to be for that $500,000, $56.20 a year. And for high school 9 through 12, for that safety, for $500,000 in assessed property value, it's $20.40 per year. So those were essentially the four numbers that they gave us.
I did see those in another mailing for the school levy, but I'm talking about the fire levy here that comes from the City of Missoula Fire Department.
We have that one too, but let me pull that up. I'm going to have to find that one. Peter did a story with Andy Drobeck about that, which ironically we're talking to those guys tomorrow during TalkBack. So if you want to call back and ask for exact numbers, they might be able to give those to you.
And why was that not included in this very fancy flyer that they sent around?
It's a great question.
A good time to tell us that. And why is this happening in a primary election? Because everybody knows the turnout is lower than it would be in November. So why not get the bigger input from population by holding off?
I have it right here, Ed. According to the city website, if it passes, the 34 mills would cost approximately $46 per year per $100,000 of assessed value. So, Nick, if you multiply that by five.
Yeah, Chief Hughes said that, however, the median range value of a house that costs $540,000 would have an assessed tax value of $189 a year. So that's what you're looking at.
Okay, why not put this in the flyer? That's what I'm going to ask. Why do I have to call the best talk show in Missoula, you know, to get that number? They got all this stuff: human impacts, economic impacts, psychological impacts, functional impacts, challenges, community impact.
How much?
They got all this stuff in here, and they don't tell how much it's going to cost you. And it seems like
be an honest sort of completion to this flyer.
Excellent. Ed, thanks for the call, sir. We appreciate it.
Sure,
we're going to come right back. We need to take a break. We have Catherine, Rick, Brian, and Alan, and a whole lot of people that want to get on in the next 8 minutes that they're not going to be able to. We can't get them all, so we'll do the best we can. Of course, the Chamber of Commerce folks will be on with us from 9 to 10.
Partly sunny weather in the forecast for most of the day today, although there's still a slight chance of isolated snow or rain showers in some parts of western Montana. Highs will warm to just over 50 degrees. More clouds move back in this evening with possible showers at times, but the sun will return for Friday and Saturday, warming back into the 60s to start the weekend. You want to do your outside work or play then, because we're seeing a chance of rain in the forecast again Saturday night into Sunday. With the Town Square weather, I'm Dennis Prey.
Hey, we are back on TalkBack, and let's get as many calls in as we can in the limited time we have, Nick. So I believe Catherine is first in line. Catherine, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is way out of where the discussion seems to be heading, but I thought it would be interesting to throw this out in case people were not aware of it. There's an Ambler Access Road project in Alaska. It's a 211-mile gravel road, and it was proposed and approved in 2020. But the Biden administration has kind of put the kibosh on it. It would connect a mining district in west central Alaska to the Dalton Highway. And the operations in the mining district would provide a steady domestic supply of copper, zinc, lead, gold, silver, and cobalt, which are the elements needed for manufacturing wind turbines, solar panels, transmission lines, and electric vehicle batteries. And wow. I sent you an article on it. So anyway, what this does is, since we seem to be on the road to trying to massively change our energy resource to solar and power and wind, we seem to be throwing all the economic opportunities and advantage to China instead of ourselves. that would mean that we are then dependent on China for energy because we're not developing our own mines and our own resources. And so we'd also be dependent on child labor in the Congo, for example. I just wanted to, to bring that up. Because this is just, it makes no sense, actually. It makes no sense to me that we are slitting our own throats. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Catherine, thank you. Thanks for letting us know. We appreciate that. Rick is up next. Rick, good morning. You're on TalkBack, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, I live here in Ravalli County, and recently I got a letter from our county, the tax board, and I was wondering if Missoula got the same kind of letter that our county tax people are not involved in the rate of property taxes the GN4T has thrown at us, and they absolutely are against what he is doing. Did you in Missoula County get a letter like that?
I did not. No, sir.
Yeah, it was a fairly scathing letter. We're a fairly conservative community down here, and they wanted to let everybody know that this was not the county's idea. This was at the governor's level. Another comment is oxymoron. There's an ad every night around 5 o'clock for Tester, and an old couple of ranchers in eastern Montana are saying that we need Don Tester more than we've ever needed him because things are so bad. How long has John Tester been in office? Like 30 years. So things are bad. So why would a logical person want to reelect the same person that has brought things as bad as they are? And that's just my comment.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's try to get Brian on. Brian, good morning. You're on TalkBack. We have about 2 minutes. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a little bothered by the amnesty. They're saying that it's the law and we have to let them in. They're supposed to claim asylum asylum at the first country they come into. You can't, come from China over to America or Honduras. Like, you should stop in Mexico, and that's the law. Not anybody from anywhere in the world can come and cross our border and claim asylum. And that's my comment.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. All right. I think we have time for Alan's call, right? Alan, good morning. You have about a minute and a half. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Good morning, and thank you. I'll make this as brief as I can and try to get a lot of information. This is about the Protecting Freedom event at the university on Sunday, the 28th of this month, where we have Donald Trump Jr., Alex Brucewicz, and we'll also have Governor Gianforte, Zinke will be there, Danes will be there, and Sheehy's. So it's a chance for people to meet and talk to these people, these leaders, and you go online. Ticket sales are going fast. We're going to have to close out sales the latter part of next week. So get your tickets while you can. Go on to the website is mac-tac.com to get your tickets. And there's still sponsorships available. So there's the information. You can see the different levels of sponsorships. Tickets are $75, and there will be no sales at the door. So, you know, we will close the attendees list.
How are the ticket sales going, Alan?
They're going good. They're going good.
All right. And what's the capacity? How many can you take?
We're looking at 500.
500 people. All right. Good deal. All right. Well, always a pleasure. Thanks for the call, Alan, and best of luck.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We are, by the way, this has been a great open phones hour. My goodness. Lots and lots of people talking about lots and lots of things. And that's kind of what we like about TalkBack. And thanks to Nick for putting that together for us. And we have coming up in the next hour the folks from the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. Mark Loesch, the CEO, is with us. He's got a couple of guests talking about their businesses and things that are going on here in Missoula. Of course, your phone calls will be most welcome at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Of course, you can also use the KGVO app for not just listening to KGVO, but also being a part of what we do here on TalkBack. Just download it. It's absolutely free. We will be back after the top of the hour.
Bible.
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you along again on this Thursday, April 18th. Hour number two is underway, Chamber of Commerce Hour. And I want to tell you that, of course, TalkBack is brought to you this morning by Y West Storage out at the Y on Two Smokes Way. If you need storage, if you need a storage facility, give them a call at 406-510-0590 because at Y West, we're making room for you. Phillips Janitorial offers both residential and commercial cleaning, and no job is too big or too small. Whatever it might be, here's their number, 406-260-6617. And by Harrington Surgical Supply, where their mission has always remained the same, and that is to restore confidence and comfort into your daily life.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Okay, we have folks. We have a full studio here this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Peter Christian DeChristensen over there, taking your phone calls and producing TalkBack. Mark Loesch, back with us again, the CEO again of the part due, if you will,
yes,
of the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. It's very exciting to be here again. And we're standing here looking out this window, and it's a beautiful summer-looking day, and it's amazing what 24 hours does, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Yesterday was kind of the twilight zone.
Yeah, it just reminds everybody, you're in Montana.
Absolutely.
Don't plant yet.
So tell us about our guests, what we're talking about.
We are so excited. You know, the restaurant industry in Missoula is ever-changing. And there is a group that is doing some amazing work in this community and has for many years. I have the Pangea restaurant group with us today. So mm-hmm. Scott Bilodeau is here, managing partner. Started out with First Specialty Coffee Espresso Business in the University of Montana campus, which he then later sold to the university, and then launched Liquid Planet Holdings as founder and CEO. Liquid Planet has actually built up multiple retail units in Missoula. I think you're up to seven right now? Eight?
Yes.
Something like that. developed a national supply agreement.
How many fingers do we have?
Yeah.
You have to play the piano.
Go ahead.
Developed a national supplier agreement with Cisco where they're selling their coffees, teas, flavored syrups, et cetera. Holds 5 patents exporting to 20 different countries.
Wow.
And is just really changing things around here. And then we also have his lead chef, Chef Jensen, which they're going to talk in a little bit. And we're going to talk about food today in the Missoula area. But first,
yes,
let's update what's going on with the chamber. Thank you.
This just in. Go ahead.
So this, we've got like 7 or 8 things that are happening right now. State of Missoula, Missoula Now, next week, April 23rd, 11 to 1 at the UC Ballroom. We're going to have the city, the county, MEP, Midtown, Downtown, Destination, and the university all on stage. 10 minutes, what are you doing right now? All of them in one place, one time. We're excited about that. It's at the UC Ballroom. And we're going to give away 2 tickets to a Raiders game, airfare, 3 nights at Caesar's Palace, $7,500 package at that event.
The Raiders.
It's amazing. It's going to be so much fun. Bob Golic, an ex-NFL player and actor, will be there to draw the ticket.
Wow.
So that's exciting.
How do you guys rate?
Well, we know people. Yeah, NFL Draft Tailgate Party presented by Home Health and Hospice of Montana and Montana Souls and Deals Sports Marketing Entertainment. Friday the 26th at the Press Box and Chamber between our areas there. Together we're working on this. We're going to have NFL stars Bob Golic, Willie Gault, Bart Oates, and maybe a few folks from the campus.
Wow.
And they're going to give autographs, take pictures. It's a $10 entry fee, but all the money is going straight to youth homes in Missoula. They're giving away 2 Super Bowl tickets to that.
Zowie.
Yes, I did say that. Giving away 2, not like you're in a drawing for it.
Right.
They're going to give away 2 Super Bowl tickets. The signing time will be from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Missoula Chamber building downstairs in the press box, of course, beverages and food and things like that. 100% of the proceeds is going to youth homes, so we're excited about that. 32nd annual Red Ripper Golf Tournament, May 3rd. Yes, it's sold out. The holes are sold out, but, you know, we love doing that. It's sold out in 1 hour and 10 minutes.
I remember that when you first announced
it. Yeah, so
it's something when you landed back in the CEO chair there, things started percolating over there.
Well, it's blessed to be back where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Doing what I want to do. So I'm very blessed. Business after hours, May 14th, JCCS, located downtown Stockman Bank Building. Always our business after hours are the second Tuesday of every month. We always do a 50-50 raffle, and our hosts always give away really nice things. The Yellowstone Derby Extreme Bareback. Now, this is unique. We all know that Derby has a great rodeo grounds.
Right.
The top 20 bareback riders in the world will be there. The only other place you can see these guys ride is in Vegas. The PCR's richest bareback
Vegas
event.
Vegas, Derby.
Vegas and Derby. I know this is, it's keeps
how,
coming
how
together.
How in the world can you decide?
It's richest bareback event in the nation hits Derby June 1st and 2nd at the Richard Comrell Memorial Grounds. Gates open at noon on the 1st and 3 p.m. on the 2nd. Saturday qualifier will offer $10,000 in added money with the top 10 riders returning Sunday for a $50,000 prize up for grabs. So you want to hit that. And then there's more information.
What's the date on that again?
The date on that is going to be June 1st and 2nd.
Gotcha.
And we've got that up on our website and all of our social media. We're going to have a property crime roundtable. This was asked for by our businesses, and we're going to do this on May 8th. We're working out details now. We'll have more information for you probably Monday. It's going to be at noontime. We're finding a location because it just is outgrowing the chamber conference room. But our businesses said we want to talk about property crime issues in Missoula, and that is our job to represent our businesses. So folks out there, be watching our social media, our website, eBlast, and information. We'll get that to you as soon as we can get this put together.
Now, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, we will have Matt Jennings, the interim county attorney. He gives us a crime report once a week, and so we might bring that up to him, and I'm sure that part of his staff will be there talking there as well.
So that'd be a wonderful addition. I appreciate it. So now that the chamber business is out of the way, we can talk food. And
tell you what, we'll do that way up against the break.
We'll come right back.
We're going to come right back. By the way, the phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we have Mark, we have Scott, we have Justin, and a cast of thousands out there who want to talk. So 721-1290 is our number. We'll be back right after this.
In a world of complicated...
Partly sunny weather in the forecast for most of the day today, although there's still a slight chance of isolated snow or rain showers in some parts of western Montana. Highs will warm to just over 50 degrees. More clouds move back in this evening with possible showers at times, but the sun will return for Friday and Saturday, warming back into the 60s to start the weekend. You want to do your outside work or play then, because we're seeing a chance of rain in the forecast again Saturday night into Sunday. With the Town Square weather, I'm Dennis Bryant.
Okay, we are back on Talkback. Mark Loesch joining us here this morning. He's the CEO of the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. Guests here in the studio, Scott and Justin, so I will leave it to you. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. We are blessed to have a vibrant restaurant community in Missoula, even though I know a lot of people think we see things closing all the time, but there's new things opening. So I said, let's talk about the food industry and the restaurant industry. So who better to bring in than Scott Bilodeau and Chef Justin with the Liquid Planet Corp. So, Scott, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to be here.
And tell us about who you brought with you.
Well, I brought Chef Justin Ferguson with me, who we put out a national ad last year because we wanted to make some moves in the restaurant industry here, and we knew we needed some firepower to do that, and we could not have possibly found a better guy for the job. What he has brought to the table is really remarkable, not only in his experience, but his background, the other chefs he's worked with, been in Boston, New York, Chicago, New Orleans. And so he literally brings world class to Missoula. And I think anyone who's been to Pangea in the last few months has noticed that change.
So what makes someone who has such a variety and world exposure to food come to Missoula, Montana? You got to tell that story.
Well, honestly, I was looking to make a move. I have three young children and, really wanted to, raise them, in a beautiful and wonderful place as, Missoula. And, you know, really kind of led out to, I saw the ad out and applied and we connected, and a lot of our views and values, were the same as far as what we were looking to do with food. And, you know, from farm to table to, being organic and, using heirloom flowers and, you know, things of that nature. So really me and Scott, we just kind of really aligned with our beliefs and culture and what we wanted in food.
That was the question I was going to ask is what was it about the, obviously you two formed a bond almost immediately, because of your history, of your business experience and your love for the food industry and the food business, as well as just food itself. So, please elaborate on that if you don't mind.
Well, I would just quickly add to that that I rarely have ever met anybody that understands the sourcing and the literally growing and harvesting and the soil that goes into quality food and ingredients as much as Justin. And I'm a health nerd and a health advocate. And I've always said, you know, I want to be able to eat my own restaurants. But quite frankly, most of what's served in a lot of restaurants, and especially in the fast food world, is really, it's poison.
It's not good for you.
It's not good for you. Yeah. And I think everybody knows that in general, but I don't think people understand just how, harmful it is on your body and your nutrition. And so, Justin truly gets it. And so we did form a bond. We did align. He ran his own farm for a while that actually fed into his own restaurant. Wow. And so we're looking to recreate that here as well. But what you eat really, really matters. And so that's one of the things we're trying to change, in Missoula, is to not only elevate food and drink in general, but also elevate the health aspect of it.
Scott, what is it about Missoula, as opposed to any other city in Montana, that seems to bring exactly the kind of people like Justin and yourself? Of course, you've been here for a long time, but what is it about Missoula and our food culture, if you will, that brings people that say, okay, I want to try Pangea. I want to try all these other restaurants that Scott and you guys are affiliated with. What is it?
I think it's the Missoula is an arts town. And the fact of the matter is it's the culinary arts. And so food is an art form no different than music and painting and sculpturing. I mean, we are an arts community and we attract the best artists in the state and arguably the region here. And so that is the same in food and beverage. We have probably the only state's level 3 sommelier. Kyle Riggs went through the Napa Valley Wine Academy, has level 3 certification in both wine and spirits. Probably the only guy in the state of Montana that has that here in Missoula, right? And so I think Missoula does attract that level.
One of the things I think that is most interesting is you seem to be in tune with what people want that you serve. So you have a brand new location just opened at the mall. Yesterday, I think, was the announcement of finally the grand opening?
Well, we got open.
Got open, okay.
So we can talk about that later.
I was blessed to get to go in and do some, have some sampling. I got to go to Costa Rica 3 years in a row for vacations, and my favorite thing was ceviche. They nailed it. This could be as good, if not better, than what we had. And if you out there folks don't know what it is, go try it. It's an amazing thing. But the menu in itself was amazing, all the way down to just the tortilla that the plain taco was in. The tortilla itself was a treat, and then everything in it. So you just seem to be so in touch with what people want to have. How do you come about that?
Well, I think it was Henry Ford who said, if I gave people what they wanted, I'd give them a faster horse. They didn't necessarily know they wanted automobiles at that point in time. And so I don't know that it's necessarily that we know what they want as much as we just know if we put really amazing food on the menu, mm-hmm. regardless of where it's from or what its heritage might be, people will notice. And I think that's what's happened.
I think that song, you can't please everyone, but you need to please yourself.
Right.
And that when you do work that pleases yourself, it will draw like-minded people to what you're doing and say, hey, we all enjoy good food. Hey, my palate is my palate. Yours is yours. Let's share.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You want to add to that, Chef?
Yeah, I mean, as a director of operations, restaurant owner, you've got to believe in what you're selling. If you're in any sales person out there, you know, the most important thing is believe what you're selling and believe what you're doing. And at the end of the day, you know, we want to enjoy our own restaurants and go in there, and it's got to be a place I want to hang out every day. And I think when you go into Elote, you go into Pangea, you know, you walk in and you go, okay, I want to be here. And that's very important. We're in the entertainment business. If as a diner, when you go in, I want to be entertained. There's a reason I'm not cooking at home. And so what we want to do on the other side is we want to entertain you with great hospitality and great food.
And the Liquid Planet Grill on Brooks had just opened not long ago either, which is a great experience. So we're going to take a break here very soon. But when we come back, I want to talk about your restaurants. Talk about the food industry in Missoula, what's changing, and how you see it evolving.
Okay, we're going to come right back. By the way, the phone lines are open if you have a question for our guests. Mark and Scott and Justin, give us a call. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. You can also, of course, use the KGBO app and message us your question. We'll be right back after this. We are back on Talk Back. We're talking restaurants. We're talking food. We're talking the food industry here in Missoula with the Chamber of Commerce and Scott Bilodeau and Justin Ferguson all here in the studio with us. But Emmett, we'd like to put our callers on as quickly as we can. Emmett, good morning. You're on with our guests. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, one, I've been to Pangea a couple of times. I love it. I love it over at Pangea. I don't get over there often because of, my money is tight, but I've loved it. I'm glad Elote has finally opened. I can't wait to try and see what it's like over there. I've been excited. But as far as the food service industry, I have talked about this before many times. I'm beating a dead horse to death. But I still want a few all-you-can-eat buffets open. I know we have China Buffet, but I mean something similar to Country Harvest that used to have a low, low price. Like for $7, something where you can eat all of everything you want until you're absolutely sick. We need a few more of those in Missoula. Many of those until we're absolutely stuffed in our stomachs to the bursting point, like Country Harvest used to be. I've even thought of an idea, maybe the Care Bears Buffet, and something adorable like that with a logo of Care Bears. Can we put several of these in Missoula? Since we're talking about food today and the food service industry, I think that'd be a great idea.
Emmett, your wish is noted, and thank you for the call. So, gentlemen, let's continue. So,
one of the things that we have to look at is the rate of inflation, the cost of food. I mean, just the cost of chicken and wings and oil to fry in has gone not just a little bit. It's tripled and quadrupled in some locations. So the cost of procuring, processing, cooking, and serving, those are costs that we can't control inside our business.
Not only that, but you have the building, you have the utilities, yeah. you have insurance, you have everything that goes along with owning a business. In addition to trying to please your clientele, that is expensive.
How much conversation have we had about our property taxes on residential homes?
I can imagine what it's like for you guys.
Do you think the businesses didn't get hit the same way?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the same thing. So it's the economy drives pricing, period. And it's just it. Emin, I know you want to have one of those, but it just is probably not in the cards to get to that price because it just doesn't work unless we can find someone who wants to really, you know, have some kind of a loss leader write off for a business and give food away. It's just not going to happen.
Probably. Well, and if you knew what was in food that cost $7,
you wouldn't eat it.
You wouldn't want to eat it, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially today. Because it is. It's extremely expensive, more than ever, to run a restaurant. And, the thing about, rent and utilities and property taxes, they don't stop. So it doesn't matter if you're open or not. Your bill is still running. And so, it's extra hard because you almost feel like you do have to try to be open 7 days a week. But then you need sales to justify that. And there are a lot of expenses in this industry. And as you alluded to, inflation's gone up 20%+ over the last few years in the restaurant industry. Labor's gone up tremendously. And it's just a different world, literally a different world.
Go ahead. And that's one of the reasons why we're seeing kind of this change of some long-established restaurants are not here anymore. They're going away. There's a change in a different way of doing business. So it's in a kind of a flux. And you guys can speak to it that more than us. But there are restaurants going away. We talk about that. But there's a lot of new ones coming. There's a lot of new smaller units coming, and it's easier, I believe, in the restaurant industry. My first restaurant had 156 seats in it. I wouldn't even think about doing that today, maybe 25 to 30, because each chair has a cost to it, mm-hmm. and you have to have that chair full so often to make it pay. Well, if you're half empty all the time, you're not going to make it, and it's tougher.
Well, the other side of that, though, is that you need the volume. Mm-hmm. To cover all these costs.
Yeah,
so right?
There's a and, scale.
And so, I'll let Chef talk to this, but, if you've got 20 or 30 seats, that's a pretty small place, and that means it's a lifestyle now for you, and you literally have to run it yourself.
You do.
You would not have the volume to afford, a talented management team around that restaurant. And I do think that's part of what's happened in Missoula is we had a lot of smaller restaurants, a lot of lifestyle businesses, a lot of owner-operators, and at some point you just kind of get burned out. You can't be there 7 days a week forever.
And during COVID, it was so hard to stay open.
Oh, my goodness.
And so hard to get there.
Yeah.
That after COVID, there was no reserves in the tank. There was nothing. It's like they survived it, but there wasn't enough capital. There wasn't enough to. And the public coming back was slow.
If you will, the COVID pandemic winnowed out the businesses that were. That had inner strength, that had capital, an established clientele, and it was tough for every business, but I think especially in the food industry.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Okay, gentlemen, we're up against another break, and I believe we have a caller. We have Mike waiting to visit with you, gentlemen. We're going to come right back, and we're having a great time talking about food. And yeah. Did you bring anything? No. Okay, right. We're going to come right back after this.
Thinking about retirement? Make sure a My Social Security account is a part of your plan. A My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal earnings history and benefit status. You can find out if you're eligible to receive benefits, compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates, view spousal benefit estimates, and more. Plan for your future. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Okay, we're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, and we're talking with folks from the Chamber of Commerce. We have Scott Bilodeau, Justin Ferguson. We're talking about food and the food industry and the food culture in Missoula. Mike has been waiting through the break. Mike, good morning. What's your question for our guests, please?
Oh, good morning. I don't have a question. I just a quick comment, and then I'll shut up. I just want to tell Emmett, I think gluttony might be a sin, and overeating just isn't healthy. So anyway, have a good day. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, that word, Okay, there you go. Well, thanks for sharing that. All right, so go ahead, Mark.
Talk about some of the other, we have a low tier that just opened. You really want to hit that one. Tell us what it is, what's happening there, and then you got the grill that just opened not long ago, and then, of course, Pangea, we're all very familiar with. So give us an update.
Yeah, we originally formed Pangea as a restaurant group intending to open more restaurants. We picked the worst time in recorded human history to open a new restaurant, which was March of 2020.
Wow.
So ended up being a little bit of a setback there. But we weathered the storm, and we did take over the old Denny's building on Brook Street to expand our Liquid Planet Grill concept. It's been very popular and successful on Arthur Street across from the university. So we expanded that to Brook Street with the Liquid Planet Grill. And our latest restaurant concept, we just got open this week, which is Elote. And it's been a labor of love. We've been working on it really for 6 months and put a lot of effort into Elote, not just from the redesigning the space, but the menu and the sourcing of ingredients and everything that went into it. And so, Chef, if you would talk about how you went about developing the menu, how you recruited Fila and the kitchen staff. It's pretty remarkable to have what we now have in Missoula.
Yeah, so we have an amazing executive chef at the restaurant. His name's Fila Lopez, and we've worked together for about 15 years now. We worked together in New Orleans, and then we opened numerous restaurants in Chicago together, and he's originally from Oaxaca, Mexico. And we've just had this great friendship, and when I came out here, I just knew he was the only guy for the job. And so it's him and his wife and his wife's brother-in-law and parts of their family, and, you know, really making authentic, fresh Mexican cuisine from southern Mexico. You know, right now we're rolling out the main menu, and then we're going to have this authentic Oaxacan menu, and we're flying in all these chilies and different seasonings that – honestly, none of the food vendors in Montana had. So, you know, just cultivating that. I've got farmers that I'm very close with in Illinois that's growing specific peppers for us and having them shipped. So,
okay, we do have a caller on the line. So let's get Jerry. We'd like to get our callers on as quickly as we can. Jerry, good morning. You're on with our guest. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, what's on my mind is really directed at the chamber, since it's the first time I've heard them on the phone for a while. And I want to know what the chamber's position is about the city's position of trying to eliminate and remove cars from downtown. I was visiting with my barber yesterday, and he says that the city's climate change goal is to reduce the number of cars that come downtown and encourage people to bike and walk and that. And since restaurants need clients and people to come down and visit them, I thought it was important. I think most people travel by car when they go out to eat. And I just wonder what the chamber's position is in support or against the city's plans to try to decrease the use of cars.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Yeah.
Thanks for your question, Jerry. It's been a very, very hot topic for a while here in this region.
Yes, it has.
Our focus is to protect and support business. And we don't see this as a protect and support business activity. That being said, there's not much we can do about it. It's done, and it's going to change. We were not in favor of it. We did try to educate and let people know the reasons why we didn't think this was something that was good. Now, this took place before I got here, so I'm speaking in past tense.
Let me tell you, before you got here, there were plenty of voices that were crying out in the wilderness, if you will, say, please, please don't do this. Please. You have no idea what you're getting yourselves into to make a downtown area like this squeezed with bikes and pedestrian. It's all good. But as he just said, most people, when they go out to eat, they are in their vehicles. They're in their car, or their truck, or whatever it might be. And the harder you make that for them, the harder it's going to be on folks like you guys.
What we see now is the fact that we were not able to have enough influence prior to me getting here to have changes. Now we need to help our businesses survive with what change is coming. So how do we adapt and survive? And that's going to be our focus. Scott was heavily involved in this also and might be able to speak to it a little bit, but it's not something that we think is going to help business downtown. We just have to figure out how to make it become a win for us.
Yeah, I was definitely very involved in that discussion. And it's difficult in a northern climate to try to find the balance when at least 6 months out of the year, you know, it's winter and it's cold. And you could count the number of bikes you see in all of Missoula on probably your thumb. It just doesn't happen between, you know, October, November, and February, March. And so you have this entire half of year that you have to deal with where everybody is, for good reason, driving their car. And so I think there's still a lot of work to do to find the right balance. I think overall there's a lot of good that can come from what's being redeveloped downtown. I think their intentions were good. They just need to speak with more business owners and understand how to strike the balance.
How is the infrastructure in downtown Missoula for a restaurateur? Is it sufficient? Do you have the power? Do you have the parking? Do you have the things that you need to be successful with the obviously good food that you already have?
Well, going back to this discussion about making it difficult to get downtown in a car, we've been complaining about not having enough parking for 20 or 30 years, right? It is a real problem. And I don't know how to solve that problem without literally building more parking structures and building more capacity. And so the idea that they were going forward with this plan, removing some of the parking, was really tough for us to take. And so we're still trying to find that balance. To give them credit, again, they are trying to listen. They are trying to work with us on finding a better balance. But the bottom line is no, we don't have enough parking downtown. It's too hard to get downtown. And there's a lot of Missoulians, unfortunately, that just don't go downtown because of it.
We're up against a break. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. We're talking the restaurant business and some folks who really know their business, and we're thrilled to have them here. Scott Bilodeau, Justin Ferguson, Chef Justin, and, of course, Scott Mark Loesch from the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. Give us a call at 721-1290 if you have a question or comment. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, boo. Have a honey.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to protect animals in disasters, on farms, on the silver screen, and in zoos and aquariums caring for the world's vanishing creatures. You can help, too, by making humane choices every day. Visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways to build a more caring and compassionate world. For all of us.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors. No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family. Come to VA.
Need to replace your Social Security card? In most states, you can request one online with a My Social Security account. A My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal earnings history and benefit status. You can also get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
We are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, and we're thrilled to be talking with folks in the Missoula Chamber of Commerce, Mark Loesch. We have Scott Bilodeau and Chef Justin here in the studio, and Lisa is on the line with us right now. Lisa, good morning. What's your question or comment, please?
Yeah, good morning. I have been obviously a little bit curious about the title chef. I used to work in Big Fork for 3 years in a very fancy restaurant. And we had a chef there. He had this coat on according with the title on there. The menu was out of this world. Wherever he learned his trade, after he had gotten his certificate, I assume, he went to apprenticeship in a foreign country and started to learn from the back on up what it's all about to have a big fancy restaurant. And his menu was just out of this world. He came out and served the dinner side table and all this good stuff. So now I look around and I hear about a lot of good kitchens and restaurants and good cooks in there, but they're not cooks. They call themselves chefs. Are they truly what you call a chef, or are they actually just a super good cook?
All right, Lisa, that's a very good question. So Chef Justin's going, I can answer that. Go
I
ahead,
can.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for the call, Lisa.
So a chef is a title that is earned. It's not a title that that you just call yourself.
Don't put the big
hat on. Right, yeah. We are all just cooks. A chef is a position as a leader. It means chief. Okay, so it is. You are the head of the kitchen. You are the top boss, and you're running the show. But ultimately, everyone that is in the act of producing food is a cook. The chef is a position that is held as the leader of the kitchen.
But more so than that, I would say to have vision for the menu, right? And to serve a leadership role.
Correct. And you'll have people that are in chef positions that don't deserve to be in chef positions. People call them the chef and they're the head guy at a fast food place, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're a chef. But putting in time, years, training is very important in my mind to be considered a chef is how you came up in this industry. What have you learned? Who have you worked for? What's your resume? And then ultimately, what's your food? What do you present?
And I would imagine you would agree, because of your experience, that you're only as good as the people you have working with you. And you need to make sure that not only are they trained, but when they leave the kitchen with the food, it's presented properly. It is, and then the people are cared for properly. And so the customers get the service that they deserve. When you're in a good restaurant, you expect that, but there's a lot of work that goes into that.
There is. I have a saying I tell everyone that works for us, you know, we're only as good as the last plate we put out. It doesn't matter where I've worked before or who I've worked for or great food. We are only as good as the dish we put out that last second. That tells us who we are. And look, we're not perfect and everybody makes mistakes, but walking in with that mentality every day. And I tell everybody, it's like, I want you to think that every plate you put out, you're cooking for your mom, your grandma, you know, and you'll put that care and love into it. And that's the culture we're trying to create with Pangea Restaurant Group and, you know, just really changing the dynamic of hospitality and even from our front of the house to the back of the house with when you put that protein on the plate, I want you to care about it before we just send it out. You know, there was thought, love, and care from the sourcing where it came from to how we cooked it, how we seasoned it when it gets to the customer.
I think there's also a perception that you can't be a chef unless you've had your schooling time, your education. And I spent a lot of time in the food industry many years ago and had a chef tell me, he said, the last person I want to hire is someone that just came out of culinary arts school because they think they know everything, but they've never worked in a kitchen, so they know nothing because it's not the same at all. Just not the same at all. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I think I came up the hard way. I started off as a dishwasher in this industry. And worked my way up. I got out of the military and I couldn't find a job. And I found myself washing dishes after two tours in Iraq, you know. And of course, I was super aggressive. And I looked around and I was like, who makes the most money? And they were like, that guy. I was like, all right, I'm taking his job, you know. But what that allowed me to do is really learn the ropes and start from the bottom and work my way up. And I think that says a lot, you know, if you come out of a school or any trade and automatically you walk in it, you know, and you want to jump into the top spot, it just doesn't work that way.
And we do have a great culinary school here in town, and I don't mean to say anything bad about that, but just having the schooling is not enough. You have to have the experience out in the field, behind the line with putting 160 plates out in 2 hours. And if you don't have that experience, you have to have it.
We always say, if you haven't made it 1,000 times, you haven't perfected it yet. And so you have to make it, like when I make gnocchi, like we're going to do an Italian restaurant. I have made gnocchi probably 10,000 times over the last 20 years. I can say I can really good at making gnocchi now. But for the first 5 years, not so much.
Now, for the people who are spending good money going to the University of Montana trying to learn this trade, what is your advice to them? Obviously, they've got good teachers, they've got good instructors, good facilities. What does it take to be someone who wants to be a top-line chef?
You know, I actually just recently listened to something Gordon Ramsay said the other day, and it was spot on. It says, first, be a sponge and just absorb everything. You know, second was you better have some thick skin and be able to take criticism. And I think the hardest thing is, even if my mom's cooking or, you know, people get so defensive about food. The hardest thing to learn as a chef is you have to be able to take criticism, you know. And the other thing is you have to realize you're not going to make everybody happy in this world. And I think you have to accept that and know that, but every day show up and do the best job you can.
I think you got to find a balance. If you're in culinary school right now, you got to find a balance of what you're learning there, the basics, and understand how to combine spices and sauces and starches and proteins. But you also need to spend time in the kitchen to learn what it's really like. I know we're up against a break.
We're going to come right back. It's a one-minute timeout. Phone lines are still open. This is a great conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, our phone lines are clear at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Or you can use the KGVO app as well. We're coming right back in 1 minute. Okay, we are back on Talk Back, and we only have about 8 minutes left in our time together. And one of the things I know that, Scott, you want to talk about Cinco de Mayo coming up. Big deal for you guys.
Yeah, well, with the Mexican restaurant, Cinco de Mayo is always a big deal. So we are in an enviable position of waiting for our liquor license to be processed. And so that will hopefully happen by Cinco de Mayo. But regardless, we will cater the event if we need to from Pangea Restaurant. So... Cinco de Mayo is coming up in a few weeks. We sort of soft opened earlier this week. It's all of a sudden not so soft. I think we did 300 or more covers last night.
Wow.
In Elote.
That's so, a soft cover?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So we are kind of rocking and rolling already at Elote. So, and please come in and give us a try. The food is amazing. But in a couple of weeks, we're basically throwing Missoula's biggest block party at Southgate Mall. Salsa Loco will be there performing on stage, and it is definitely going to be a party. And if you want to talk a little bit more about, you know, the amazing food that's coming out already at Elote, from the nachos to the fajitas, and just, I mean, we're bringing some unique Mexican cuisine to Missoula. The Elote, we should probably mention that Elote
was top seller last night.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So top seller, we, you know, doing street corn,
which is what it translates as.
Yeah, that's
Spanish,
what it looks like, is, and obviously number one, it should be our the name of our restaurant. So I was super excited.
Elote stands for street corn.
Yeah,
which is corn. Okay. Yeah, all right. So, you know, street dish in Mexico, it's really delicious, grilled and with an aioli on it, and lime and chili and cotija cheese, and it's delicious.
I had some. It's good. It's really good. Yeah.
Well, what we're super excited is, one of the things that falls on our beliefs, we are buying a Sonora heirloom 400-year-old flour. And to put in perspective for you, this flour that we use to make our tortillas, okay, a bag of all-purpose flour for a restaurant, it's roughly about $28, okay? This bag of flour for the same 50 pounds is $230. Okay, and so we are making the investment, you know, to make the absolute best flour tortilla on the planet. And what's important for us is to know when you eat that, you are having the best heirloom, not sprayed, cultivated wheat in the world. And it's grown in southern Arizona, right close to Mexico, where they receive only 4 inches of rain a year. So that, I think it's really special with our huge tortilla machine that you'll see when you come in the restaurant, and they're coming out fresh all day long.
It was, I mentioned earlier when I ordered just a plain taco, because you want to test a taco, like,
sure,
Italian, give
sure,
me a red sauce.
Right.
And the shell itself was the treat of the taco. So I know we're short on time here. The corn, folks, is amazing, and it's going to be something you probably haven't, I've never had it before, and it truly blew me away. The ceviche, again, just the salsa and the chips, was so unique and light and crisp. Just, folks, you have to go try this out. It's an amazing thing. I want to thank you both for being here. I wish we had a whole nother hour. We need to talk about it. Maybe I need 2 hours. I thank you for being here. Folks, give it a shot. Liquid Grill, Pangea, Brooks, Elote, and watch for others coming. They kind of had to sneak. There's some Italian coming. There's some other things
coming.
That's
our next project.
So there's some other projects coming. We may have to come back and talk about that. I need to hit something for you, for everybody again on the chamber project. The state of Missoula, I've talked about everybody on stage.
We got 4 minutes. Take your time.
So the Missoula, we are so blessed. We have a great friend in Bert Tabor, and he has Souls and Deals Sports Market Entertainment. And they are donating to the winner a weekend package, a $7,500 value at the state of Missoula to see the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium. And they get to pick the game.
Wow.
It's 2 round trip tickets, airfare, hotel accommodations at Caesars Palace, and the game. And everybody who comes to the state of Missoula will get a ticket. And Bob Golic is going to just draw a ticket.
Wow.
And we're going to give it away right then. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is on the 26th, again, is our draft party tailgate. And this is in collaboration with the Press Box. And we're going to have 3 NFL stars there. Bob Golic, Willie Gault, who pretty quick in his day, Bart Oates.
Yeah, I guess.
And
yeah.
they're actually going to give away 2 Super Bowl tickets. Give away, not be in a drawing, some national thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $10 a ticket. The signings will be from 3 to 6 p.m. is when they're going to be there signing. The draft is going on all day. We're going to open at 10. There's going to be some cornhole. There's things going on in the parking lot. You can come in, come out. But that's another big event coming up. And watch our social media, our Instagram, our Facebook, our emails, our chamber connection. You can receive that if you're a member and not a member. Just let us know. Our website, MissoulaChamber.com, has everything on there. We are upgrading some things. We're changing some of the look. We're trying to get more information out and tell the chamber story more and let people know why we're doing things or why this is happening. So we're working on that. The chamber is involved with the SAM downtown program. I'm on that panel. I'm also on the code reform panel with the city. I'm also involved with the urban camping. So I was at that meeting last night. So we are getting our feet into these things so that we understand what's happening so we can be involved.
Is there anything that you're not doing?
Sleeping.
I was waiting for that one. All right. So, gentlemen, we got about a minute. I'd give each of you to wrap things up. So, Scott, you first.
Well, pleasure to be here. And I would just reiterate that our desire is to elevate the restaurant industry in Missoula. I've always believed that coffee shops, bars, and restaurants are those social pillars of Missoula. It's what brings the community together. It doesn't matter what you believe or what political party you're from.
Right.
You want to go out and be entertained and have a good time and have a great meal. And so that's part of what we're trying to provide. And we just welcome people to come try us out. And the latest thing we've done now is Elote at the mall.
Just real quick, Justin, 30 seconds on what you like about Missoula so far.
One, it's the most beautiful place I've ever been to. Two, the people and our partners have just really welcomed me with open arms and really getting to know the younger cooks and the staff and the servers has just been a privilege and really developing just great friendships and a great team. So I'm a big team guy. So building great teams and a great community is what's most important.
Well, you guys have made a great show. This is a great hour. Thank you. I think we've learned a lot, and I think our taste buds are being stimulated just a little bit here.
Excellent.
listening to you guys, and we appreciate you taking the. I know you guys are really busy, and we appreciate you taking an hour to come down and share this with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And thank you, sir.
Most welcome. We'll see you next month.
Good to see you, sir.
Blackfoot next month.
Yes, sir. Got it. All right. So, Mr. Nick, what's coming up on tomorrow's fabulous radio program, sir?
Our friend Dennis Bragg is going to join us, and we're going to talk with Andy Drobeck about the fire levy, get some official numbers, and, talk about why it's going to be on the ballot.
Yes, it is. And there are a lot of things on the ballot, folks. I just want you to know. And this fire services levy is very, very important in the fact that they haven't had anything like this pass since 2008. That's a long time. So anyway, we'll have them on tomorrow. And again, thanks to all of you who called this morning for open phones, and of course to Scott and Justin, and of course Mark Loesch with the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. You guys get out there and make it a great day. Enjoy the sunshine. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 as I fill in again for Ace on Montana Morning.